Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Just stay standing. It's a real honour this morning to welcome not just a guest, but a friend who's going to be speaking this morning. Jane and I and some of the other leaders met Pastor Steve Kennedy actually in Sheffield a couple of years ago, and just really clicked and hit it off with him. And Pastor Steve's from Australia, and we love the Australians. And up from the Brisbane area, he's pastored a church for over 28 years and seen some fantastic stuff happening in thousands of people's lives. And has been kind of traveling the last couple of years all over the world, and has such a heart for people and for souls and seeing people saved. And so I want you to give him a massive, massive welcome as he comes to bring the word this morning. Come on, let's welcome Steve, shall we?
All right. That's enough. Before you sit down, just make sure that you're standing beside the person you want to kiss, because that's what you've got to do before you sit down. All the single boys. Where's that guy going? You're going to find a new girlfriend. Good work. I like that. All right, kiss someone and sit down. It's good to see you. All right. That's enough. Hey, that's enough. Where's the fellow been married 31 years? Who's that fellow? Is he here? Me too. Although I look a lot younger than you. Man bald on front, good thinker. Man bald on back, good lover. Man bald all over, thinky, good lover. All right, well, it's good to see you. That's enough being naughty, that's it. Are you feeling good? Yeah. Pastor Clive and Jane, thank you very much for the opportunity of being here. And it's a great honour. Can I say this as well? Pastor Clive has already mentioned, wherever you're listening, whatever medium, you know, this is coming to you on, Pastor Clive is, I didn't say through whoever medium, all right, very different. but Pastor Clive has already said welcome if you're visiting. Can I very specifically say if you're visiting and you don't normally go to church? It's really good to have you with us. And I'm going to try and talk. I'm working from deficit with this accent, but I'm going to try and talk so you understand at least what I say. And we have a language in church. There's no doubt about that. But you do too as a computer programmer or as in the automotive trade. So if I came to your workplace, I'd cut you some slack. So if I say something a little too churchy, just chill. I'm going to try not to. I'm going to try and just talk normal, if there's such a thing. And that'll be good. I used to go camping. I actually still love going camping, but your children get to an age where it's all lattes and boys walking on the beach. All right, so I have a 27-year-old daughter. And I have a 24-year-old daughter. I have a 21-year-old daughter. And I have a 16-year-old son. So the camping sort of, they all want penthouses now. You know, that's sort of changed. But I used to go camping, and I used to have a trailer. Do we call it a trailer here? I put all the camping gear in. Not a caravan. That's for the rich folk. I'm talking about a trailer with that you use to cart rubbish to the tip. But once a year, you hose it out and put your tent in and your double bed. Absolutely. And your refrigerator and everything else that you need for 2 weeks roughing it. You know, like your 40-inch plasma and your generator. And you're made with the palm branch, all that stuff. It's just the bare essentials, of course. But I put everything in my trailer and I connected it. We call that a tow ball, where it's a tow hitch, you understand? You can put a trailer on a tow hitch in the dark because it's a very distinct clunk. It's a very distinct, this was made for that. You can do it in your sleep once you've done it once because you just know it's home. I put my trailer on, I took off down what we call the M1. You have one here as well. I was doing the legal limit, which for us is 60 miles an hour. And I said to my wife, Susie, I said, that trailer's got awfully close. Whoop, now it's a long way away. Because the connection came loose. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know this, that once the connection comes loose, the trailers become dangerous. Dangerous to itself. Dangerous to everybody else. That trailer's got all my goals, all my dreams, everything I am for the next 2 weeks is represented by that trailer. And now to drift from its connection. I don't want to be too tacky here, but we're all like the trailer. You got goals, you got dreams, you know, you're full of them. You're full of it. You're full of dreams. You want to do stuff. But let me tell you this. This was made for that. And unless you're connected, you do know a trailer can't reach its destiny on its own. You know, it's a wonderful thing, a trailer, very handy, but it doesn't reach its destiny on its own. It must be connected. Well, friend, I'd like to pray for you. The last thing I do before I hand back to Pastor Clive is I'd like to pray if you're not connected. I'm not saying do you not have dreams. You've got dreams. You've got things you want to do, but you need to be connected to God to reach your destiny. The trailer can wish, if only I could get to where it's going. But once it came loose from the vehicle, it was soon going nowhere. And in fact, in my case, it became dangerous. So before I finish, maybe you were connected one time, but through some bumping the road, the connections come loose. Or maybe you've just never been connected ever before. I'd like to pray for you. It's the last thing I'll do before I hand back to Pastor Clive. And I don't know, Pastor Clive, we might just... I'm not going to get you to stand up. I'm not going to get you to get in a bus and go out to a farm. All right? And get an orange gown and a plait out the back of your head. Pour pool acid on all your tattoos. All right, we won't be doing that. You can sit right where you're sitting. I'll stay clearly where I'm standing. Maybe I'd like to acknowledge you though, so I might just get you to raise your hand. But we'll see how we go with it. But think about it. I'd like to pray for you before I'm done. For the rest of us today and for all, I'd like to talk to you about from Luke chapter 19. And if you turn there, I want to be very deliberate in what we talk about today. I want to talk to you about, I don't want the subject to matter to be an anticlimax, but it could almost come across like, well, let me ask, who's ever been in church and heard a message and you just knew it was for someone else? Now, come on, that does happen. I'm going to take that laugh as a vote in the affirmative. All right, well, I just want you to know this isn't one of them. I have clearly aimed this right between your eyes. I can't see one person that I think I'm not talking to. You understand what I'm saying? Heavenly Father, I ask you, start with the preacher, but impact us with the word. This is our church. It's where we come. I mean, I don't know. We come to hear God talk. We come to meet our buddies, I guess, have a coffee out in the harbour, do what we got to do, for sure. But ultimately, we want to go away thinking, well, this is my church and I'm going to hear God talk to me today. So I am believing that's going to happen today. I want to talk to you about how to win somebody to Christ. You understand, this is not for somebody else. This is for you. There are three convictions you're going to need to have before we get to the word. Well, why don't we read it first and then I'll share the convictions. But I'm standing down here because when you get to be over 40, it's easier to read it off the screen than off your Bible. You understand? So you didn't believe I was over 40, but there's a little secret. Don't tell the others. Can we put Luke 19 up here? We're going to do verse 1 to verse 10. I read from the New Living Translation because it's cool. And here it goes. Jesus entered Jericho. Don't mind my back. Mind my back. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief. I've never met a Zacchaeus, like in modern time. I met a Zach and a Zachary, but not a Zacchaeus. Cool. Anyway, Zacchaeus, he was the chief tax collector in the region and he had become very rich. I like that bit. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. Oh, that's so... That is so cheesy, but... I will do anything to plant this in your mind. Because I want you forever and a day... that you ever read this story, that you will see that you don't know anyone not looking for Jesus. See, that's our problem. We think there's some who are and some who are not. No, you do not know anybody that's not looking for Jesus. Your uncle's in the Seek Him More tree. Your abusive work colleague is in the Seek Him More tree because he, like Zacchaeus, is too short to get to Christ. It was good, Jonathan. That was absolutely fantastic. Yeah, it was good. Appreciate that. Can I borrow the pen, man? I got to get that in the notes. That's not there. That's absolutely brilliant, if you don't mind. All right. What I'm actually writing is keep ignoring the bloke on the front row who keeps heckling. And if you do it again, mate, I'll be down there to sort you out. Exactly. It's happened to you before, I can tell. All right. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. In Australia, we have a term. It's called not happy Jan. Well, that's this people. But the people were not happy, Jan. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, what else could you say? Except salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, the father of faith. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those. I've got the first edition, New Living Translation. It adds a little bit here, and that's the second edition. All right. Mine says, for I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save those, it adds, like him, who are lost. Friend, fly around the room if you're a Christian and you don't think this is our job. Now, I'm not Pastor Clive. My dad was a preacher, and you know, I grew up in the era when to be a preacher, you just need a really long finger to point at people and tell them what they had to do. All right, so I'm not trying to get at you this morning. I just am not. And I'm not trying to say you've got to do this. I get the feeling you want to. You want to impact somebody for the gospel. Pastor Clive, I took my neighbours, my next door, the people who live in the house next door to mine. I took them to church last year. Lisa next door rides a motorcycle, as I do, and she was concreting her driveway, which is about 50 metres from the road up to her house, and as is mine. And so I saw her park her bike on the street, and I said, Lisa, you don't want to be parking it on the street. I know it's Japanese, but someone might not know and steal it anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, who would, but you never know. So why don't you put it up in my garage until the concrete cures? So she said she would. And so one day in the next couple, she was driving the motorcycle up the drive. And just to be neighbourly, I went down to say hello. And I mentioned to her, I said, Lisa, look, I preach sort of around. She is a university lecturer, by the way, a doctor, if you will, a professor. And so she travels the world as well. I said, look, maybe you're a bit like me. You're sort of an expert everywhere else. But you're a nobody when you're at home. I said, but I'm preaching in here, in town, in 2 weeks' time. And why don't you come listen to me? And she said, I love it, I love it. She said, are you any good? I went all sort of puppy eyes. Oh, I don't know. Why don't you come and tell me? And she just pointed a finger and said, I think I will. So she did. And the whole family came. And I put them in my car. If you want another lesson about how to win people to Christ, Luke 10, Good Samaritan, he put him on his own beast. Don't say you'll meet them here. That's stupid. They get attacked on the way to the inn. Put him in your car. Well, he lives 10 miles away. You'll have 10 miles to talk then. On the way and on the way back. Put them on your own beast. So I said, no, leave your car at home. Come with us. And so we extrapolated the night with dinner afterwards and good wine, in their case, not mine, but in their case. And it was just a great evening. Pastor Clive, and you know the church I go to. No one talked to them. Now, I know you're thinking, well, that wouldn't happen here at Kingdom Faith. Of course not. You're a friendly church. But who to? You or everyone else? Our church had 1,500 people say yes to Jesus last year. 1,500 people said yes to Jesus. So we are a friendly church. But on this occasion, we dropped the ball. So I know you want to. But you're going to need three convictions if this scripture is going to make sense. Here's the first conviction. We've said it already. It's from the text. You don't know anyone not looking for Jesus. Now, I used to be a boilermaker, if that's at least some help. So I understand the workplace. I understand the hostility of the two kingdoms. And was the recipient of that hostility on the occasion of my initiation, of course, where I was dragged through the workshop naked and greased from head to toe. So I understand where you might work, anywhere from that back to a lovely office area. But I'm still going to let the statement stand. You do not know anybody. You see, if you know that you're running a water shop in the center of the Sahara Desert, you'd be pretty confident. You'd be pretty confident everyone who comes is probably going to want what you got. Well, you've got to have that confidence. Otherwise, you'll never, ever launch out to make an impact. Now, have you ever seen a little child in a crowd looking for their father's leg? They only come up to the knee, and so they're looking for dad's leg, you know. And if you see them, you don't want to eye contact them because they're a bit lacking in confidence because, you know, they don't want you to know they're lost. But finally, they grab dad's leg. And have you noticed the total change? When they're home, they found what they're looking for. So they put the shoulders back. If they saw you see them, now they want to look for you to let you know that they're cool now. Everything's honky. And so they're there. But the thing is, note this, because if you're an adult, you've probably seen this. Your view is different to their view. See, their view is, I've got what I'm looking for. But your view is, that's not your father. Have you seen that? And you're thinking, look out, this is going to get worse than it started. That's what your friend is. So your friend has got something, and they're looking at you like, I've got what I'm looking for. But your view is eternal, you see. In their heart is a compass that points north. It points to a cross. It points to Jesus Christ. If you're listening to me and you don't normally come to church, I'm not here to get at you. You may have what you're looking for. You've got money. You've got a career. You've got a different girlfriend every Friday night. Lucky guy. But I'm telling you, your view is not eternal. And the view that the scriptures would have with all the compassion and love is that there is going to come a day when you look up and with the shock of that toddler, you're going to realize that is not who I was looking for. Yeah. If you have that conviction, your work colleagues, your neighbors take on a totally different persona. Here's the second thing. It's your job. I'd like to say it's your privilege, but so don't judge me, you know, on the pedantic of the words I use. But it's Pastor Clive, I was here last year for 1 month. I preached 32 times in 21 days. And I only said that to say this, and drove 2,500 miles around all these different venues in a borrowed car. And so it would be fair to say I was as like busy as a one-legged frog in a snake pit. I'm busy. I got like people to see, places to go. Well, the car water pump lunched itself. If you're in the automotive game, you know that's not the driver's fault. It's just, it happened. I've got to get this. I've got places to be, mate. So I talked to the people in the church where I was, said, we got to get this sorted out. It's like a Friday, and I've got to get somewhere by a Sunday. And like, so they find a guy. I can't do the accent, but you'll get the feeling if I say he talked a bit like this. Although I'm probably talking a bit too fast for him. And he has got littered machinery around, and I'm thinking, I'm not even sure I'm going to get out alive. But anyway, he says, yeah, I can fix it. So we're out of options, so we leave it with him. He says, come back tomorrow. And I'm thinking, I don't want to come back at all, but I guess I got a beast. So I'm back tomorrow. And there it is, bonnet down. I'm assuming he's either forgotten, hasn't started, or it's fixed. And so I knock on the door, a few bats fly out, and then he wanders out. And he says, I fixed it. So I'm getting in the car, Pastor Clive, and he's holding the door. Have you ever had that? Like, generally it happens at your mother-in-law's house. And you I came over here to visit my mother-in-law. She lives in Canada, but looks better from here. Okay. I only say that if you're a very long way from home. Okay, so here's the deal. So he's got the door, and I'm saying, I've got to go. He says, that CD in the player's pretty good. And I'm thinking, I haven't even listened to it. I've had the car a week and a half, Pastor Clive. When I'm in the car on my own, I don't generally listen to the CD player. I am the CD player. Come on, is anyone else? Is anyone here like a pub singer when you're in the car? I mean, I'm like Susie Quattro, Devilgate Drive. Come on, boys! I'm Creedence Clearwater Revival. I mean, I'm everything, man. I'm just, and come on, baby. So I haven't listened to the CD player. And then he said, track 8's pretty good. Must be one of your church ones. And I'm thinking, this is getting ugly. And I'm starting to think who I can ring. Because I'm serving the Lord. How can I stop to witness to this man? I'm serving the Lord.
Excellent.
We do that. I drove out of his driveway, pushed in the CD player, click, 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 click to track 8. Chains be broken, lives be healed, eyes be opened, Christ is revealed. Oh, please, God, why me? Don't you know I'm busy? So I'm going to ring the pastor. You've got to get round and get a connect lead around here. Deuce. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, no, you do it. And I'm thinking, why me? He said, because you met him. You work with him. We all want to ring. Well, we've got to get the church onto that. Hey, pastor, saw a lady in the street this week. Got to get the church to help her. You are the church. Well, who are we going to call? You'll get home and your phone will ring. It'll be the pastor saying, hey, listen, one of the church members told us someone, so we've got to get the church on it, mate. You reckon you could do it? Oh, I ring you to do that. That's why I'm ringing you back.
Very good.
Pastor Colin, why did Jesus talk to him when he had all of these other people? Would it be fair to say Jesus is the busiest guy in the whole group? Peter, seek him more tree. 9 o'clock, little bloke. I'll keep going because I think Jairus is going to come out here soon. Ooh, word of knowledge. So, Pete, you're going to be an evangelist. Have a bit of training. No, Jesus stopped. Jesus talked to him with everyone else there because Jesus is the one who saw him. We can talk about the church winning people to Christ. These events, this church news, is like an epic movie, this church news, with the stuff your church is doing. But that church can be disconnected to who you and me are. It's us. We are the ones that win people to Christ. It's not someone else's role. God will bring people across my life that he will want me to connect with and... So I spent the rest of the afternoon trying to find her. Because if you know that album, you'll know it's not track 8. Because this is a pirate. I don't want to go get all moral on you, but a pirate is illegal. Illegal! So I can't go give that away. So I have to drive around, try and find it. Saturday afternoon, no shops open, got the sort I want. So I've got to end up bartering with all of my incredibly precious resource for one secondhand Hillsong CD. Who do they think they are? And I took it back to him and gave it to him, and his face almost fell off that someone would be so kind. And then I felt the Holy Spirit say, now go to your next town. You reckon Jesus was interrupted once or twice? Really, the only thing different between the Samaritan who helped in Luke 10 and the two who didn't is that they weren't prepared to be interrupted. They were serving the Lord. They couldn't serve the Lord. They're serving the Lord. One last thing, and then I want to just touch a couple of things briefly from the scripture, is that number one, you don't know anyone. Number two, it's your responsibility. And number three, all right, is that it's urgent. Now, come on, Pastor Clive, we've grown up in preachers' houses. We've been hearing this is urgent since we, you know, we've seen all the Thief in the Night DVDs, or real films. You know, I mean, but the little girl who got murdered this week in London, it's over. On the news yesterday, the young lady that ran into the truck in her pickup, see, Jesus has already come back for her. So when we say, oh, they've always said Jesus is coming back soon, Jesus came back for 1,600 people from Britain yesterday. Did you hear that figure? 70 Britons will die while we sat in church today. In fact, if we're here for 2 hours, it'll be 150. So when we say it's urgent, it's never not urgent. 600,000 people in your country that had Christmas dinner last year will not be having Christmas dinner this year. 600,000. Sheffield is gone. Don't be too happy about that. And someone will say, but oh, more people get born. What do you think we're arguing about birth, death? No, death, eternity. That's what we're talking about. That's why Jesus said, quick, come down. And Zacchaeus caught the importance, so it says he quickly came down. So we've got to get on to it. Couple of things from the scripture, if you will. Is that all right? Yeah. Have I got you sort of at least in a place of, oh, well, maybe I've got to listen? It's my church, I suppose. Maybe. I'll give you 5 more minutes. Here's the first thing I see from the scriptures as I study this passage, because it got my interest. Well, this could tell me how, because I noticed, by the way, see, Jesus is not preaching in a church when he impacts this person. He's not even on a mountainside with thousands. It's just one on one. In fact, it's Jesus of Nazareth, if you like. Jesus from Horsham. That's who we're talking about. Here's the first thing he did. It says he entered Jericho and made his way through the town. Can I tell you, there are two things there, and for me at least, on many occasions, I do one of them but not the other. But to impact somebody, you must do both. See, a lot of us pass through our workplace. We never enter our neighbourhood. We just pass, we're like ships in the night with our neighbourhood. You've worked with someone for 10 years and do not know their wife's name. You've not entered their life. You cannot impact somebody till you enter their life. Now, why don't we do that? I think what really scares us is the first, when Jesus entered Jericho. There's the problem. I was raised to flee Jericho. Jericho's the world. Jerusalem's the church. Interesting, Luke 10, the Good Samaritan, he started in Jerusalem to go to Jericho. So let me at least make this point, because some people say, yeah, I like this guy. Really what he's saying is we spend too much time in church and we should just be out there. No, I'm not saying that at all. If you want to impact Jericho, you better be full of Jerusalem. You get that straight. Yeah. I am not saying don't come to church or maybe come once a month because you've got to be out there doing the real work. We just want 2 hours a week to get you full of Jerusalem so you can have 166 hours to impact Jericho. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so put that in perspective. Yeah. But this, see, Jericho, well, let me tell you what happened. I'm in a motorbike shop. Guy comes in. This is what he says. Who owns a fat boy outside? Now, fat boy is not a very large individual chained to a post, by the way. Put your hand up if you know what a fat boy is. A fat boy is a Harley Davidson motorcycle. But when I looked at this fellow and he said it, the way he said it, I said, why? I thought that was the important answer. He said, because I want it. Well, it's mine. He said, well, I'd like to swap you, mate. I said, what are you riding? He said, an FX Standard. Don't worry about that. But I said, oh, yeah? What, like old, new, brand new? Mine's 9 years old. He wants to swap me a brand new FX Standard for a fat boy. All right. Now, it's like swapping a Corsa for a top-of-the-range Vectra. All right. And I had the Vectra. So, but his was brand new. Mine was 9 years old. I'm just thinking, trade in, get rid of it. I'm interested. So I said, have you got yours outside? He said, no, it's at my house. I said, I'll bring mine over. I'll have a look at yours. You have a look at mine. Now, I had to tell you that to tell you this. I turned, I went home, got my son, thought he'd enjoy the ride out to have a look at this guy's motorbike. So we go over to his house. Harley Davidsons are somewhat loud, so when I pull into his driveway, he comes out. Now, Pastor Clive, looking at the audience, we've got to sanitise this somewhat. He's fluent with the sixth letter of the alphabet. That'd be A, B, C, D, E. Well, W. Let's say W. That's a better word. I don't want to get anything in your mind. I come in the driveway and he wanders out. He was actually a bit of a fat boy himself. He wanders out. W, me, W. If that's not the most W, beautiful W bike I've W ever seen. W, well, W me. Now, I'm Pastor Clive. I've grown up in church. I got saved when I was 14 years old. And so every time he says this, I just feel like I'm not even a Christian by half a sentence. I'm just feeling like I've got to get back to Connect Group just to stay saved, you know? You know?
I've come to the garden alone.
I can feel my soul is desperately, it is slipping to hell. Now, please, I have a moral dilemma. Am I supposed to listen to this? Should I rise up with indignation and say, do not talk like that in the presence of a man of God? And I'm polarising the crowd here today, or the audience, because some of you would. But dare I say, now that I've stepped out this far, dare I say that if you would challenge him, you're probably the same sort of person that would arrive in Charles de Gaulle Airport and say, anyone speak English? To which someone replies, oh, je me plais de nettoie, not French, you twit. Get the good oil, mate. English. You made a lot of friends that day, didn't you? I'm messing with your Christian paradigm. I want you to know this. In France, they speak French. And in Jericho, they use the W word. And it won't send you to hell. It may make you uncomfortable, but I'm not sure it's about us being comfortable. It's about impacting people. Like Lisa. His wife came out and I was sure it would stop, but it was a duet. She had P's, Q's. Oh, man. Hey, don't forget. See, my dilemma is I got my boys 12 years old and 13 years old. And I'm saying, keep your helmet on, mate. Speak in tongues, Latin, anything. Just, whoa. Well, we finally got back on our bike. We finally left his house. And we're driving out of his estate. And I said to Andy, because I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I said, Andy, that guy swore a bit, didn't he? And he goes, he's totally winded in his spirit. I said, you notice I didn't tell him off, feeling a bit guilty, feeling a bit like maybe I should have. Now, Pastor Clive, it is worth, I don't talk like that. That's not my native tongue. But 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that you are an ambassador. You know what an ambassador is? It means I'm from there, representing there, here. What do you think you're going to do? I don't think you have an ambassador to Jerusalem in Jerusalem. We don't need you to be an ambassador of the church just here. Oh, walking in the Spirit, abiding in His glory. We need you to be an ambassador there.
Come on.
That's a thought. I'm just a stupid evangelist, but this is what I saw in the Word. By the way, an evangelist doesn't win souls. He prepares the church for the work of the ministry. Anyway, I said, Andy, you notice I didn't tell him off. He said, yeah. I said, you know why I didn't, don't you? He said, he was big. He wasn't big. He was huge. He was a sizable lad, I tell you. I think he wanted my fat boy so he'd have a twin. I said, good one. I said, Andy, truth is, mate, I wanted to, but I just felt we were at his house. He wasn't at ours. We were at his. And I hope I'm bringing release to you, because, see, Christians struggle with this. We wonder, should I be here? I'm not talking to 16-year-old kids here, start going to discos. Pastor Clive, I'm a pastor. You understand? I'm not saying, oh, well, all you 17-year-olds, yeah, get on down there to the pub and drink like the best. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're saved from the world. You are delivered to Christ. And when your leadership and those, you know, in your circle start to put some respect on your discipleship, then you get delivered back to the world to impact them for Christ. We've got to go quick. Here's the second thing. If you're going to impact people for Christ, is that you've got to see people. You've got to see people. I love it. The Bible says Jesus, and I'm playing on words here, but I think it says Jesus looked up. You got to start looking up to these people. Come on, 5 years ago, you were like them. You know when I got greased as an apprentice? I'm laying on the ground. Forgive me. I am naked. I'm 17 years old. I've got grease from head to toe. And I'm looking into the eyes of third-year apprentices. And you know what my thought is? This happened to you. And yet you're doing it to someone else. How could you forget the humiliation of this and now do it to someone else? If I asked you to put your hand up if you think you'd be in jail or dead if you didn't meet Jesus. Yeah, and the rest of you liars. We've got to start looking up to people. And he called him by name. What did the crowd say? He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. See, they saw activity. Jesus saw a person. Zacchaeus means pure. That's what it means. When Jesus called him Zacchaeus, he could have been the only person to use that name since his mother used it. And so when his mother used it, he was a child. So when Jesus used it, he went back to being a child like faith. And from that, see, his mother called him Zacchaeus and saw a good future for him. Life had messed him up. You know, I dare you to call her a prostitute while her dad's listening. I dare you. He's never called her a prostitute because she's never been a prostitute to him. He's blind to her activities. You remember the prodigal? When he came back, you remember how his father, he tried to say, Dad, you notice he just kissed him? Come on, if you know anything about that part of the world, that's a mouth on a mouth. That's a I don't want to know. Because that's how a dad responds. He was a prodigal to the older brother, but he was always a son to the dad. If we're going to impact people, we've got to see them as people. Lastly, I've got to finish. If we're going to impact people, do you think you could do this? Seriously, do you think that you could say, God, I'm going to my work today. I know it's not Christian, but I just believe you put me there. Right. Yeah. Very good. So I won't imbibe the environment, but I want to give myself to the people in that environment. Here's the last thing. We've got to start being good to our word. Yeah. I've got to share what happened with Lisa. When Lisa moved in, I said, g'day, I'm Steve. This is Susie, Lisa, rest of the family. That's cool. I'm taking out my trash, my bin, down to the driveway for the rubbish truck. And I see Lisa taking hers. Lisa, we should get together, get the families together for a coffee. That'd be great. She said, oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Because they knew in the neighbourhood. I said, it'll happen. Have you ever done that? Well, 2 weeks later, I'm taking out the rubbish bin and I see Lisa. Lisa, I haven't forgotten the coffee, eh? She says, oh, that's good. 2 weeks later, coffee. And she went, which I think really meant, you are a liar. You talk a lot, but you don't actually do it. Now let's just pick my friend here on the front row. Now I'm not trying. I'm being deadly serious. His name is Neil. He works with me, and his wife has died of cancer, and he's got 3 little boys under 10. So I say, Neil, mate, how are you getting on? You know, since the missus passed away, man, those little boys, they don't need a day out, mate. You know, I got a ski boat. Let's take them out, mate. Summer's coming. We'll take them out, eh? What do you think Neil told those little boys that night? There's a man at our work, and he knows I'm a Christian. There's a man at our work, my work. He's going to take us out in his boat. What do you think those little boys have done every single night for the last 3 months? When's that man going to take it? And now Neil is defending you. He's defending me. Oh, he will. He's a good man. But I forgot it. I've said it to 6 other families as well. And I'm repeating that all over my community. Now, I know you're not dishonest, but take a note from Jesus. He said, I'm coming to your house. He put a date on it. Pick any event we saw on church highlights. Just pick any event and nail it. Ladies, is it Helen? Yeah. Helen, I heard Helen say, hey, you know, just say, hey, when finally I'm taking my bin down and I... And I see her again. And finally I said, Lisa, I'm sorry about the coffee. What about this Thursday, 3:30? And they're there at 3:15. And they stay till 6. And then they're getting in my car. And then they're coming to church and getting ignored. My final comment. Where's the team? They can come. My final comment, Pastor Clive, I know the Roman road. When I grew up, I was told that's how you do it. Maybe we talk too much. Luke 10, the Good Samaritan. Let me go through it with you. I'm not going to turn there. Let me tell you. It says he saw. It says he felt. It says he came. It says he knelt. It says he soothed. It says he poured. It says he bandaged. It says he put. It says he took. It says he cared. It says he paid. It says he paid some more. And he didn't say one word to him. Maybe we... Well, on 2 things. Maybe we talk too much, but maybe you felt the pressure that you had to be a preacher to do this. Well, let me tell you, you don't. When they say that Lee Westwood dropped the shot at the Masters, dropped, yes. In the Latin, dropped is a little bit like fallen. We are fallen, you know, Gordon. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Gordon. And Gordon doesn't ever want to talk to you again. And I wouldn't want to talk to you again. You're the worst preacher I ever heard in my life. But fair enough, you're a baker, mate. So just bake 12 extra loaves and take them over.
That's it. Very good.
Put 2 tickets to the football in there. He didn't say a word. Jesus did, because Jesus was a preacher. Not that it... Truth is, it doesn't even tell us about a conversation he has with Zacchaeus. The only thing we know he said to Zacchaeus was, I'm coming to your house for dinner. It actually doesn't... There's no verse quoted. He was a Christian. And I'm looking at a room filled with people that I heard you worship. I'm not going to deny that you're passionate about Christ. So I want to release you. You're not the preachers. If God's proud of you, he probably leaves you out there. If he's embarrassed, he'll stick you in one of these for your whole life. We're the ones he didn't know what to do with. But some of you are so good, he decided to keep you out there as an architect, keep you out there as a teacher. You'd be a good diesel mechanic. Oh, you're good. You stay out there. No, you get up here. You better stay here. Now, Pastor Clive's thick enough to understand. Sorry. Thick-skinned enough. The other thing was just prophetic. But I got to stop. Bow your head. If you're not connected to God, I'm not asking if you want to be a priest. I'm not asking you do you want to come out to a farm and you know, for 8 weeks and eat fruit. I'm asking you, do you have dreams and goals, but you're not sure how to get there? Jesus came from heaven to earth to repair the disconnection. So that you could be connected to God, forgiven, accepted and loved. If you're not connected to God and you're here this morning, all I want to do is I want to acknowledge you and pray for you. I will stay here. You can stay sitting there. Maybe you were connected, but you're not now. Maybe you never were. But if I could pray for you, right where you're sitting, would you look at me and just raise your hand? I'll see it. I'll say, put it down. God bless you, sir. I'll pray. You put it down. I want to acknowledge who you are and where you are. God bless you, sir. I'll pray for you. Someone else. Just look. God bless you, ma'am. I'll pray for you. God bless you, ma'am. I'm saying ma'am and sir. You look at me when you raise your hand. Yeah, God bless you. I want to acknowledge. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, sir. Someone else. You say, I'm not connected to God. God bless you, buddy. You say, I never have been. Or, look, I have, but, mate, I hit a bump. I've come loose. Someone else. Just look at me. I need to. God bless you, buddy. I'll pray for you. Somebody else. God bless you, mate. God bless you. God bless you. I'll pray for you. You are like Zacchaeus this morning. You're in the tree. Dear God, I pray. God bless you, mate. Dear God, I pray for each person that has raised their hand. I just believe that it's not just a hand up, it's a heart open. And so I pray, Lord God, that you would... God bless you, sir. I just pray that you would come into their world. Lord, I'm a long way from my physical home, yet my wife's with me because we're connected. And in the same way, Lord, you are with us and you'll be with these people that have raised their hand. You'll forgive their sin if they'll ask. You'll accept them just like they are and you'll love them into the best person they could be. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. One last thing. If you would say to me, Steve, this is my church. This is where I hear God talk to me. So I can't ignore this word. I'm going to pray a 30-second prayer for the next 5 or 6 days to say, God, would you let that word work in me? You word it however you will. If you forget, you're not in trouble. But as a commitment of intent, would you stand if you're saying, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Just stand. The only qualification you'd need is that you know someone who's not a Christian or will get to know someone.
Yeah. Come on.
Heavenly Father, you've seen the people standing right now. See, this is our church. Pastor Clive delivers the word each week or the people he invites to use the pulpit and we expect to hear God talk to us from the word. And Lord, as we go away, we're asking and inviting the Holy Spirit to water that word, to impact us with that word for the sake of the Johns and the Natalies, the Douglases, the Natashas in our life, the Zacchaeuses. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. I didn't mention that reason.
That was a very, very profound word this morning. Over the last couple of weeks, as I've just been sort of praying and thinking about what's happening with us as a church, one of the things that God spoke to me about and I've sort of been praying into over the last couple of weeks is that every one of us would take responsibility for seeing people saved, for people that don't know Jesus. And at the prayer meeting, the VIP, Victory in Prayer, not this last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, and it had been a few days before that I started to pray about all of that, Eric Casto was here, and he led part of the prayer meeting that night. And in the middle of what he was doing, he actually said, he kind of challenged everybody there, and he said, I really feel that you, he said, point everybody, all saying, everybody needs to take responsibility personally for souls. And he said a few other things. And then he finished leading that part of the prayer meeting. And he said, for the rest of the prayer meeting, God just kept talking to him about it. And he said to me afterwards, he said, I hope that wasn't out of place to say that. He said, but I had such a sense of God wants there to be in the church here such a, not just a heart, to want to see, to, you know, I'd like to see people saved, but actually there's a difference between liking something and wanting something. If you like something, then you just say, yeah, I'd like that to happen. If you want something, you go and get it. And I've been praying for us as a church that what God is doing, or one of the things he's doing with us at the time, that every one of us would move from liking to see people saved to really wanting to see people saved. And the word this morning, you know, the overall kind of theme at the moment is that how we advance as a people, how we move forward individually in our lives with God, but also as a church, how do we move forward? And what Pastor Steve has brought this morning is a real word from the Lord right in the middle of all of that context of what God has been saying. And that's really a word from God's heart. Very, I know a lot of it was funny, and that's great. But, you know, that's a great way to open up our hearts for then God to go right in there with his heart and with his word. And so it's not a commitment that we're having to make to try and live up to, because at the end of the day, anything that God does through our life is by his grace, you know. But we need to make ourselves available for what God wants to do in and through our lives individually and corporately together. And so I just want to pray, okay, and for us as a church. And I've been praying over the last couple of weeks. And obviously, Steve bringing that word this morning, it really is partly for me at the beginning of God beginning to speak into it, into the whole situation that I've been praying into for a couple of weeks or so. And I know that we're going to see an increase in the amount of people that we're seeing really getting thoroughly saved and really getting totally transformed by the Lord. So let's just take a moment just to pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, your word, it is life. And Father, I thank you for the life that your word has released this morning, the faith that is released, but also the love that is released. And Father, I thank you for every person here that you've appointed us to bear fruit and fruit that's going to remain. You instigated that, Father. You set it in place. You've appointed us. And Father, I thank you that this week you've already set appointments up. You've already set those moments up this week for people's lives to be impacted by you through every one of us. Father, I thank you for those appointments, those God moments this week that are going to take place and other people responding to you as a result. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.